Today's daf is Erevin daf Lamed Hey. We left off on daf Lamed Dalar and Beis. We're right at the Mishnah on Lamed Dalar and Beis. The Mishnah is going to talk about a case where you have an Erev that's in a box and the box is locked and you lost the key. So we're going to have a machlokas what the status of such an Erev is. I mean, we've been talking about Erevin that are halachically inaccessible. Here's an Erev that's physically inaccessible because the person doesn't have the key. And the Gemara is going to have several explanations of what the machlokas in the Mishnah is really about. When we're dealing with an Erev locked in a closet. The Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to discuss various cases of Erevin that get destroyed and outlines how the validity of the Erev depends on the timing of its destruction. When was it destroyed? Was it destroyed before Bein HaShemashos? After Bein HaShemashos? The Gemara demonstrates what the Chiddush is in teaching each case of an Erev being destroyed, meaning there are multiple ways for it to be destroyed. Why does the Mishnah have to give so many examples? And then finally, then, toward the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to question what Reb Meir holds in cases where we have a suffix relating to a din d'oraisa, but a chazaka that points in the direction of leniency. So you have a chazaka that seems to tell us to go l'kula, but it's a suffix and it's a din d'oraisa. And we compare a mayor's opinion by a ruined eruv to a suffix in tvila and a suffix about having touched a dead body. We're going to go through various other places in Shas to try to arrive at some sort of conclusion about that issue. So let's begin from the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Nasnu b'migdal, if you put the eruv in a closet or a box of some sort, va'avada mafteach, and the key is lost. Hareze Erev, Tanakama says it's still a perfectly fine Erev. The Erev still works. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Eino Yodeh Shemafteach B'mekomo, Eino Erev. Rabbi Lezer says, no, it's not a valid Erev. If you don't know that the Erev is accessible to you, so then it is not going to be a good Erev. Says Rashi, U'b'gemara mefarish le'gon sh'amigdol b'rishus ha'yachid. Di yahava b'mafteach, lo have be shum iser duve ruvo birushus yachid. Meaning Rashi tells us that clearly we're transitioning from a hu b'makom echad v'ruva b'makom achir situation on a halachic level to a practical level. This is not a halachic issue of one thing being in Rosh HaSiyachid and the other being in the Rosh HaSarabim, the Erev being in one location and the makom shvisa being in a different location. That would be a halachic issue. We're talking about the practical issue that you simply lack the access to the Erev. So says the Gemara, v'amai hu b'makom echad v'ruva b'makom achir hu. So why, granted, they're both in Rosh HaSiyachid, like we said, but still, it should still be considered hu b'makom echad v'ruv b'makom achir because you don't have access to it. Meaning, what difference would it make whether it's a halachic issue or a practical issue? Why could the Tanakama consider this kasha is obviously on the Tanakama? Why would the Tanakama consider it a kasher eruv if the eruv is totally inaccessible to the person? So Rav Shmuel d'Amri Tarvayu, hacha b'migdal shel levanim askinan. We're dealing with a closet that's made out of bricks that were not cemented together. Rav Meir, and we're assuming, like the sheet of Rav Meir, that a structure that's made out of uncemented bricks can be broken open on Shabbos and it's no problem, and you're allowed to take something out of it. You could break it open and take something out of it. Where do we find that he says this way? Ditnan bayisham lo perus sasum v'nifchas notel makom apchas. If you have a house that's full of peros and it was closed off and then it was broken open in one area, you can only remove things from the area that it was broken up. You can't continue to break off more bricks from it. Remeir Omer Poches v'notel l'chadchila. Remeir says, nah, you can break open the house. It's no problem. You could even do it l'chadchila because, again, we're talking about bricks that are not cemented together. So that's where Remeir holds that's permissible. So that must be what's going on in our Mishnah, that the Erev is accessible to you. I mean, again, the kasha was, how could the Tanakama say the Erev is kosher? It's not accessible. Sure, it's accessible. Tanakama is assuming, like Rabbi Meir, that bricks that are not cemented together can be torn apart. So that's what you're doing. It's accessible. You'll be able to, even though you don't have a key, you don't need a key. You have your own hands, and you'll be able to tear the Erev apart. Now, if you look at Tosfos, very important Tosfos halacha l'maisa, Tosfos discusses v'amai hu b'makom echad v'eruv b'makom acher v'im tomar, meaning in the kasha of the Gemara, where we assume that you don't have access to the Erev, v'ahasha salkadaitach to b'migdal eitz airi. The assumption must be, before we came up with the chiddush to answer that we're talking about bricks that aren't cemented together, the assumption must have been that we're talking about a box or a closet made out of wood, davei kli, and a box or a closet made out of wood is a kli. Midukumashani hacha b'migdal shalavanamaskin. From the fact that the Gemara only later answers that we're talking about bricks. Va'od istam migdal shabashas shal eitz. And also the way we know that the assumption was that it was shal eitz is that whenever we say a migdal and shas, it always means that it's made out of wood. So the kasha is v'imkein my parach harei mutu l'shabres hakli v'litol masha b'tocho kedam perchavis shover adam eschavis litol men grogros v'taim kedam b'samuch mishum dein binyan v'stira b'kelim. So it says to us, I don't understand what the kasha is that hu makam echad ve'ruv makam acher. So it's a kli. So smash open the kli. There's no problem with smashing open a kli. You're destroying it when you smash open the kli. You're being soser. It's a violation of the melacha of soser. No, ein binyan b'kelim ve'ein stira b'kelim. When dealing with a kli, there's no problem of binyan v'stira. So says Tosos Yeshlomer Demashmalei b'migdal gadol d'shayich be binyan v'stira. We might be talking about a very large kli, and a very large kli has a concern of there is a concern of binyan and stira when dealing with a very large kli. So this right here, how we answer this question of Tosos and what our attitude is toward binyan v'stira b'kelim is going to have a profound impact on how we view opening packages on Shabbos, food packages and the like, cans on Shabbos. When is that called binyan b'kelim, stira b'kelim, when we open things like this? So in our sugya we have shitos that hold ain binyan v'stira b'kelim. Many rishonim hold even though ain binyan v'stira b'kelim, nevertheless the binyan gomor, there is binyan v'stira b'kelim. Meaning if you're mamish constructing it, then it would be binyan v'stira b'kelim. Tosos in our sugya and in Masechta Shabbos and the Rosh in our sugya all say from the fact that the Gemara assumes that we're dealing with a wooden closet, and on that we say hu v'makom echad ve'eruv v'makom acher, that you have no access to the eruv. So we see that that such a closet, there is a violation of binyan and stira, because by tikkun kli, even the it could be that everyone will be moda that there will be some sort of binyan v'stira. Tosos later on writes. Later on in this Tosfos says the only time we find hadish shari l'shabra chavas hadmukla beitz perkamevi b'mustaki. Where do we find that you're allowed to break open kelim that it's not binyan at all? The kelim, that's only b'mustaki. B'mustaki is some type of makeshift kli. He says pirush chatichos hamdubakos yachad, little pieces that are stuck together. But binyan gomor and stira gomor are shayich b'kelim as well. And Tosfos proves this from many Gemaras. However, the Shita of the Ran in Masechta Shabbos is that Ein Binyan Mestir B'Kelim, even when it's Binyan Gomor. What about our sugya? It sounds like you're not allowed to break open the box. That's because we only allow it by a kli katan, but by a kli gadol, he goes with Tosfos' first teretz, that when it's a very large kli, that's machzik arbaim saw, that could hold 40 saw, then we would say it doesn't have a shame kli, and it would be subject to the iser of binyan ustira. But if we're dealing with a regular size kli, there is no binyan ustira, it's not just b'mustiki, any regular size kli, there's no binyan ustira. And that's why they say that in our sugya, when we deal with this closet, with this box, that it's considered to be inaccessible, because we're talking about a very giant box, according to the Ran. We're talking about something that's more than 40 sa'a. And that's how Rashi seems to say, Alamed Hey Amad Aleph. Beis Yosef writes that even according to the Ran and Rashi, you have to add and say that which we say, Ein Binyan V'Stira B'Kelim, is only Bekli Shenisparik Ve'ein Saruch Uman B'Chazaraso, where you're not going to require a professional to reassemble it. But if it would take a professional to reassemble it, then even Rashi and the Ran would agree that that's called Binyan V'Stira B'Kelim. So Rav Moshe discusses, according to the Shitas HaRan, he says, you're allowed to be Korea Sak Tofur Shemunach B'Tocho Tzukar. If you have sugar in a packet, in a bag, that's glued shut, so you're allowed to tear it open. And it's also mutul lekroa sak shel beged v'chein mutul leftoach teva asuya mitase mateches tuma. If you have a can that's made out of closed metal that has dugim katanim in it, that the sardines is typically what the poskim always discuss, sardine cans. So Rav Moshe says, so you're allowed, according to the Ran, you're allowed to open all sorts of cans with all sorts of foods and and drinks in them when you need to take them to eat them on Shabbos because it's mekalkel in the etzem malacha. You're going to say, no, it's mesakin because I'm getting the food and I want the food, so maybe that's called mesakin. No, but the etzem malacha is a mekalkel, and these are kelim katanim that don't have aren't subject to the malacha of soser. Meaning the only way we have to look at several malachas when we talk about opening cans on Shabbos. One is the malacha of stira, the other is the malacha of makab patish, of making a kli, right? So when it comes to making a kli, being makab patish, well, that's not a problem because you're destroying it, as long as you destroy it, as long as you're not doing it in a way that you're making, you're fashioning a nice kli. So if you destroy it, it's fine. But what about soser? If I'm destroying it, soser by its definition is a destructive act, so I'm going in, I'm ripping it apart. Yeah, but that's okay because ain't binyan stira bekelim. So this is a major discussion. Rav Moshe, the Chazanish, each type of kli you have to look at through the lens of several different malachos, and also the poskim discuss how permanent this is going to be. One of the major issues that they talk about is it's something that you're automatically just going to take the contents out and throw it out, or are you going to continue to use it as after you open it in a normal way? Okay, but that's one topic that comes up relating to this Tosos. There's also a we have this machlokas in our Mishnah about an inaccessible eruv because the key is lost, and Rashi says that gimel shitos bedaver tanakam of our Mishnah, tanakam of a brisa, which we're going to see that if you find the mafteach, the eruv is good, even if you find it very far away in the field, and which assumes we're going to see soon, like Rabbi Shimon, that a mafteach that you can that you could take through, with a lot of people helping to take it, each one giving it off to the next guy, is going to be mutter. So that assumes like the shita of Rabbi Shimon, and the Ritva writes that which we allow when nimsa mafteach besada, like Rabbi Shimon, where one guy gives it to the next guy, that's only by the mafteach. But the eruv itself, we would never allow in that situation, which we're going to see in a moment. Maybe I'm jumping the gun a little bit. We're going to see when the eruv is far. We're going to see when the mafteach is far away. We're going to rely on certain kulas to gain access to the mafteach to bring it toward the eruv. But if the eruv is out in the sada, says the Ritva, we're not going to rely on using those shitos to use many people to bring the eruv together. So Rav Meir Arik writes in his tshuvas that if someone is in jail on Bein HaShemashos of Knesset Shabbos, when Friday night, when Shabbos is about to start, and then on Shabbos he goes free, so it's usher for him to be metaltal, relying on the eruv that the Bnei Ha'ir left in the shul or in one of the houses in the city, because at the time of Bein HaShemashos, when everyone else was zochah in the eruv, everyone else had access to the eruv, but he was in jail. He had no access to the eruv. Even though someone could have brought him the eruv to the Beis HaSurim, to the jail during Bein HaShemashos, then he would have had access to it. Yeah, but that doesn't help legabe the eruv itself, based on this Ritva. That only helps when it comes to the mafteach, when it comes to the key, when it comes to the eruv itself. The fact that you could bring the eruv to someone to somebody is not going to be helpful. So let's see the Gemara. Let's see what the Gemara says. So far again, all we ask is, according to the Tanakhama, how does it make sense that it's a valid eruv when the eruv is locked up? After all, isn't so he made an ukimta that the Mishnah is talking about, where you have a bunch of bricks that are not cemented together, and you therefore do have access to the eruv because you could pull apart all the bricks like the shita of Rabbi Meir, that you could be pochis lechatchila. So frak the Gemara of Amram Nachmarad Amr Shmuel ba'avira delivni. So hachanami ba'avira delivni. So we're talking about where there's bricks that are not cemented together. Right, meaning we asked, Rav Meir only allows that when there's no cement. So he said, yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. There's no cement. It's just a bunch of bricks piled together. So I frek the Gemara. Wait a second. When does Rav Meir allow doing this? Only on Yontif, not on Shabbos. So I answer the Gemara. Hachinami biyomtiv. Okay, so Amish is also talking about on Yontif. Now we're not talking about on Shabbos. We're talking about on Yontif that you're allowed to that you're considered to have access to the eruv. Yehachi Hainu Diktani Allah Rablaz Ramar in Biir Avad, Eruvo Erev, Misada Avad, Ene Ruvo Erev, Vibi Yomtov, Mali Ir Mali Sada. But wait a second, does it make any sense to say that we're talking about only on Yantif? We have a brisa that distinguishes between when the key was in a field where the Erev would be possible, and when the key is in a city where the Erev would be kosher. That distinction sounds like a distinction in Hotza'ah. What's the issue when it's in a field? That you're not going to be able to get to it. That you're not going to be able to carry it. That only makes sense on Shabbos, on Yantif. There's no distinctions in Hotza'ah. There's no violation of Hotza'ah. So says the Gemara, Chisuri Mechzra Vaha Chiktani. This is the way we need to read it. Nasnu b'migdol v'na'al b'fanav v'avar ha'mafteach hareza eruv. If a person put the eruv in a box and locked it and lost the key, it is a valid eruv b'medvar mamurim b'yom tov. That's only on Yom Tov. Av b'Shabbos ein eruv v'eruv. But on Shabbos, the eruv is invalid. That's the shita of the Tanakam in our Mishnah. Nimtza ha'mafteach bein b'ir bein b'sada. If you find the mafteach on Shabbos, wherever you find it, whether it be in the ear, whether it be in the sada, the eruv is not valid. Rabbi Lazar Omer, be ear eruvo eruv. The sada ein eruvo eruv. But Rabbi Lazar disagrees. Rabbi Lazar says there's room to distinguish between a city and a field. If you find it in the city, so then it's going to be a valid eruv. Meaning, even though it was, and Tosfos points out, be ear eruvo eruv benimtza b'Shabbos, even though you find it on Shabbos and it wasn't available. Still a ruvo eruv, because the key was there, was in a location where you would be able to get to it, even though you didn't know where it was during Ben Hashmashos, a ruvo eruv. But besada, ain a ruvo eruv. You find it out in a field somewhere, the eruv is not going to be valid. So why? Be'ir a ruvo eruv, krebi shimin. Damrecha gagos vecha tseres vecha karfifos rushos achas hein lekelem sheshav subesochan. We're assuming like Rabbi Shimon's shita, that the key could be transferred through all different types of enclosed roofs and chatzeros and karfifos. So the key was accessible to us. Besada ein eruv eruv k'rabanan. And we say besada, then the key was found in the field, the eruv is not kasher, because Rabbi Lazar assumes like the rabbanan, that you're not allowed to move things in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim less than 4 amos at a time, even for the sake of a mitzvah like an eruv. That to carry something, pachos, and dalet amos, is not automatically mutter when you're trying to do it for a mitzvah. It's still going to be Aser. So the way this explanation is working now is that the Gemara explains the Mishnah must be at first we said the Mishnah must only be talking about Yontif, not Shabbos, and because even Rav Meir only allows breaking bricks open on Yontif, not on Shabbos. So the Gemara said, no, we have a brisa that distinguishes between where the key was found in a field or in the ear. So that sounds like a Shabbos distinction. So Gemara says you have to break up the Mishnah add an extra part into the Mishnah. If you put the Erev in a box and you lost the key on Yom Tov, the Erev is a valid Erev. On Shabbos, it's not a good Erev. But if you find the key on Shabbos, wherever you find it, still not a valid Erev. But according to the Tanakhama, Rebbe Lazar says it is a valid Erev if you find it in the city, just not if you find it in the field. Good, that's the machlokas, Rebbe Lazar and the Rabbanan. Now, we said if it's Yom Tov, Mali Ir, Mali Sada, what difference does it make if it's in a field or in a city? The Rosh Hashanah points out, well, we're asking according to Rabbi Eliezer, right? According to Rabbi Lazar, what difference does it make if it's in a field or in a city if we're dealing with Yom Tov? So because Rabbi Lazar is the one that distinguished between the field and the city. So the whole kash is only within Rabbi Lazar. So Rosh Hashanah asks that Rabbi Lazar we know is Shamuter. Rabbi Lazar is from the Talmidei Beis Shammai, and Beis Shammai holds Maseches Beitza, Dafid Beis and Aleph, that there is a Nisra Tzah in Yom Tov as well. So what kind of kash is this? We're saying, I don't understand, how could Rabbi Lazar be Mechalek between Ir and Asada if we're dealing with Yom Tov, there's no Hotza'ah. Rabbi Lazar is a Talmud from the Beis Shammai. So according to Rabbi Lazar, there is Hotza'ah on Yom Tov. What's the kasha? So, and also, you can't say that the tiltul amavtech, moving the key for the sake of the eruv, which is food, is considered tzoruch ochel nefesh, because Beis Shammai holds that that's also mutar in Yom Tov, as we're going to see soon. So the point is, though, says the Rosh Hashanah, it just doesn't fit with Rabbi Eliezer. If we're really worried about Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer was talmid Beis Shammai, this kasha is not a kasha according to Rabbi Eliezer's actual shitos, according to Beis Shammai's actual shitos. So Rosh Hashanah says you have to change the gears. So it should be Rabbi Elazar, not Rabbi Eliezer. That there's a difference between the two. Rabbi Elazar is not from the Talmud of Beis Shammai, just Rabbi Eliezer is from the Talmud. Tami Divrei Shammai. That's the answer according to the Rashash. Okay, that was all one approach in understanding the Machlokas in our Mishnah. Now we move on to the next approach. Rabbi Rav Yosef Tami Travayu. Rabbi and Rav Yosef both explain Hachal B'Migdal Shaleitz Askinan. We don't have to say that we're talking about bricks and we're getting involved with Rabbi Meir about taking apart bricks that are not cemented. No, we're talking about a wooden box. So what's the Machlokas? Meaning we're back to the original question then. Isn't it Hub Makam Echad Ve'Ruv Makam Echad? What's the svar for the Tanakama? To Mar Savar Klihu Ve'in Binyan B'Kelim Ve'in Stira B'Kelim. Umar Savar Oelu. That the Machlokas is whether the box has the status of a Kli or whether the box has a status of an Ohel. Tanakama holds the wooden closet is considered a Kli. Ein Binyan B'Kelim Ein Stira B'Kelim. So there's no Isser to break open Kelim and therefore the Erev is accessible to you. Reb Lazar holds the wooden Kli is considered an Ohel. An Ohel is not allowed to be destroyed on Shabbos. That's Stira. It's not a Kli. It's an Ohel. So the Erev is considered inaccessible to you. So says the Gemara, where do we find such a machlokas about a wooden closet, whether it's a kli or an ohel? Ubeplukta dani tanai. We have this machlokas tanaim elsewhere when it comes to the tumah that a zav has when he moves something. Something called heset hazav. If a zav moves an object, even without touching it, without sitting on it, without putting his weight on it, he could move. He could be metami something just by heset, just by moving it. So ubeplukta dani tanai ditnan. Hikish al gavi shida teva migdal tamein. What if he hits a shida teva migdal? He hits a box and the box moves, so the box is tameh. Rabbi Nechem and Rabbi Shimon mitarin. Rabbi Nechem and Rabbi Shimon say no, the box is tahar. So what are they arguing about? My love, welcome afli. Mar sover klihu, mar sover oelhu. When is the zav going to be metame something that he moves? That's if he moves a kli. So if you consider it a the Gemara is assuming that whether the closet is considered a kli or an ohel is exactly the subject of this machlokas. If the closet is hit by a zav, if it's considered a kli, it's subject to tumas hesed. It becomes tame from hesed. But if it's considered an ohel, then it's tar. So that's the same machlokas. Says the Gemara, no, that's not the same machlokas. Amar Abai v'tizbra. You think that's what they're arguing about? V'atanya ohel v'nisat tame kli ve'enu nisat tahar. That even if that's not true, the assumption that we're making that only a kli is subject to tumas hesed, but an ohel would not be subject to tumas hesed, not true. If an ohel is movable and the zav moves it, so that becomes tameh also. If a kli is immovable and therefore the zav doesn't move it, so then it's not going to be tameh. The katani seifa v'im hayu nisot in tameim zaklal nisat machmas kocho tameh machmas ra'ada tahar. That the seifa goes on to say that if it actually is moved, it's tameh, but it all depends how it moves. If it's nisan machmas kocho, by his force it was moved, then it's tameh. But if it's just the trembling of the ground, the vibrations of the ground that make it, even though he caused those vibrations, let's say he jumps up and down and causes vibrations, and that's what moves it, then it's tahar. So elam rabaye dekuli al mehesan machmas kocho tameh. So Abaye says clearly, if he moves the box, whether you consider it an ol kli, it doesn't make a difference. If he moves the box with his kocho, he takes a stick and he pushes the box, for sure it's tameh, whatever you hold it is. Machmas ra'ada, tahar. If he jumps up and down next to the box, and that causes the box to move, the vibrations cause the box to move, then he's tahar. V'hacha b'ra'ada machmas kocho askino. Over here we're dealing where it's ra'ada machmas kocho, where vibrations that come about as a result of his koach, is that call that he moved it? That's the question, whether that's considered to be moving it. There is a machlokas rishonim. What does this mean? Ra'ada machmas kocho. What's the difference? What is hesed machmas ra'ada? And what is hesed with ra'ada machmas kocho? What's the difference between the two? So Rashi explains, hesed machmas ra'ada is a guy stamps on the ground next to the kli, and because the ground is shaking a little bit, the kli moves. So even though the kli is lifted it up from the ground a little bit, it's sort of jumping a little bit, since it's koach kocho, that's the term Rashi uses, koach kocho, it's indirect koach that he's using, it's therefore not going to be considered hesed. Ra'ada machmas kocho, Rashi and the Ritva both explain, is when he smacks it with something, but they don't move out of their place, meaning they're not, the kli doesn't end up a few inches over from where it was, it just shakes a little bit, in its place. It doesn't actually physically move over to a different location. So if he jumps up and down next to it, and the kli shakes, and the kli, so that's koch, koch, that's nothing. If he whacks it, and it moves, it shakes, but it doesn't move over. It just shakes in its place, and stays in the place. That's ra'ada machmas koch. That's how Rashi and the Ritva understand. The Rash in the Mishnayis and Zavim says that hesed machmas ra'ada is that the kli shakes, but doesn't move out of its place. Ra'ada machmas kocho is that he stamps on the ground next to it, and the kli actually moves over a few inches. So it, almost like the opposite of Rashi, where if he's jumping up and down next to it on the ground, and those vibrations cause the kli to move over, says the Rash, that is ra'ada machmas kocho. That's more direct, because he's actually doing something, he's actually really moving the kli. Whereas if he hits it and it just vibrates a little bit but stays in its place, that would only be regular ra'ada. Anyway, masnisin b'mayim akminila, abayi v'rava damri tarvayu. So now we got to go back to our Mishnah. We need a better explanation of our Mishnah then. If the Machlokas is not going to be about whether the Migdal has a din of a Kli or a din of Ohel, so what is the Machlokas in our Mishnah? So Masis Mayim Ukminila Abayv Rav Dar Mitarvayu B'Minil V'Katir B'Masna Askinan. The Erev is tied shut with a rope that needs to be cut with a knife. Ubayu Sakina L'Mifsakei. So if the Erev is tied shut in a box with a rope, and the only way to get to it is by taking a knife, so that's what they're arguing about. Tanakama Savlak Rabbi Yossi Damar Kala Kelim Nitalim B'Shabbos Chutz Mesar Gadol V'Yossi Shlomach Risha. Tanakama holds that kelim such as knives are not muksa. He holds like Rabbi Yossi that you're allowed to go get a knife and open the Erev, and therefore and open the box where the Erev is in, so the Erev is considered accessible to you, and that's why it's a kosher Erev. Rabbi Lazar Savlak Rabbi Nechemia Damar Afilu Talas Afilu Tarvid Nitalim El Tzorach Tashmish. Rabbi Lazar holds like Rabbi Nechemia that even regular kelim like spoons, clothing, and knives are muktza when they're not being used for their primary use, and therefore the Erev is considered inaccessible. It's considered hu b'makom echad ve'eruvo b'makom acher. Machlokas Rishonim, what Rabbi Nechemia really holds. So we see he's telling us that some sort of a ladle, a tarvat, or a spoon or something cannot be taken elo l'tzarech tashmishin. So Rashi says, according to Rabbi Nechemia, it means even a klisham lachta l'heter. That's why he says even a spoon. A spoon is a klisham lachta l'heter, something that you use for normal mutter usages. Still, you're not normal mutter usage on Shabbos. Still, you're not allowed to take it unless you're using it dafka for that normal usage. There, Rishonim, however, do quote another sheet of the Rashba, the Ran. Others quote in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel that Rabbi Nechemia does not mean to say that a kli can only be used for its tashmish hamiyuchad mamish, for dafka, the thing that it's always used for. It means that it has to be used for the same malacha that it's meant to be used for, not when you're going to use it for a malacha, for a different malacha. So it doesn't have to be as specific about that particular tashmish, but it at least has to be the same basic type of malacha, even if normally this kli won't be used for this, it won't normally be used in this context by this malacha. Rabbi Natam says that even according to Rabbi Nechemia, even a kli shemalachta le'iser, You're allowed to move l'tzorach tashmish that it's normally used for. Meaning, Rabbi Nechemia is not mechalik between a kli shemalachta leheter and a kli shemalachta leiser. He would say this about a kli shemalachta leiser as well. That l'tzorach gufo, when you need to use it for itself, that's perfectly fine as well. So now, with Rabbi Nechemia's shita, so why is it that you're not allowed to take the knife in order to cut the rope to get the eruv? Meaning, so isn't a knife used for cutting? So isn't that the tashmish amyuchad for a knife? What's the problem with taking the knife to cut the rope so you can get the Erev? So Rashi explains that l'shitasa that Rabbi Nechemia holds even a klisha melachta leheter is going to be a problem, since the ikar tashmish of the knife is not to cut ropes, it's to cut bread, it's to cut meat. So since it's a kitchen knife, it's not meant to cut ropes, that's not called the tashmish hamiyuchad. Whereas the Rishonim that said from the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, no, we don't care about tashmish hamiyuchad as long as it's the same basic malacha. So this is the same basic malacha as cutting. So what's the problem? So they have to explain a little bit differently. They say that we're talking about you lost the knife and therefore you're not able to cut the rope only with other kelim that are not melachtam lechituch. Meaning we're not talking about that you're going to go get the knife. The machlokas isn't can you use the knife. You don't have the knife. You need a knife. If you had a knife, life would be great. You're allowed to use a knife because it's the same melacha. Cutting is cutting. Those we showed him the Shem Rabbeinu Chananel say that would be perfect. Point is, you're going to have to use something else. You're going to have to use a fork. You're going to have to use something else. else that has some sort of pointed edge and just stab at it and try to get it open. And that's not okay, because that's a different malacha than you would normally use it for. There are other shittos in Rishonim as well, but let's go weiter. Says the Mishnah, Nizgalgal chutz l'tchum. What if the Erev rolls beyond the tchum Shabbos? As Tosfos points out, afilu tchum in derabbanan. Even if we're assuming tchum in derabbanan, v'afilu l'rebi damar kol davar shum mishum shvus lo gozro lo bein hashmashos. And even if you assume like Rebbe that anything that's only derabbanan bein hashmashos is not a problem, so you might say, okay, so if the Erev is nizgalgal chutz l'tchum, no problem. It's still considered accessible because it's bein hashmashos, and bein hashmashos, it's only innocent drabbanan to go chutz l'tchum. Bein hashmashos, we don't worry about isurim drabbanan. Says Tosfos, nothing doing. We can't rely on such a svara over here. Mikol makom lo ve'eruv afalgav de bein hashmashos matzi l'mishkali v'asuyei kiven de imkana shvisa b'makom shenizgalgal eruv hayomir ato chutz l'tchum. He says, because the point is that if you're kona shvisa there where the eruv is, so then it's outside of the tchum. Ve'lo el arba amos, and you only get the four amos around you. Hilkach tikn drabbanan shlo ye eruv. So that's why they were misakin that it can only be a good eruv when it's inside the tchum. So again, back to the mission. If it rolls outside the tchum, or nafal of gal, a pile of rocks falls on it, o nisraf, or it gets burnt, truma v'nitmeis, it was a truma eruv and became tameh. So miba odyom eno eruv. If any of these things happen before Shabbos starts, well then the eruv is totally pasul. The eruv is no good. Mishecha shecha hareze eruv. If it happens after dark, then it is a good Erev. It's after Shabbos starts, then it's a good Erev because you're already kona shvisa ben hashmashos. What if you're not sure? Im safek, Ramei Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hareza Chamar Gamal. Ramei Rabbi Yehuda says you have to be machmir in both directions. You only get if you put the Erev to the east of town, you can only go as far east as the town, the tchum of the town would allow you, and as far west as the tchum of the Erev would allow you, as the 2,000 amos from the Erev would allow you. You have to be machmir in both directions. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Safik Erev Kasher. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say, no, Safik Erev is Kasher. Am Rabbi Yossi, Av Tumas Hein Mishum Chamishas Geinim, Al Safik Erev Kasher. That a Safik Erev is always going to be Kasher. The Machlokas by a Safik Erev that's quoted in our Mishnah, Legabe is quoted Legabe Erev Tchumin. That's what our Mishnah is talking about. What about Eruvei Chatzeros, Shitufei Mavuos? Would we also say the same thing about a Safik Erev? So the Beis Yosef and Archaim, Simashin Sadi David, says that the Huadin, Erev Chatzeros, Shitufei Mavuos, it's like we know that Allah is like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah against Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda, that a Safik Erev Tchumin is Kasher. So he says also Safik Erev Chatzeros, Safik Shitufei Mavuos is also going to be Kasher. And that's what the Rambam writes in the first paragraph of Hilchos Erevin, Halacha Chaf Aleph, that it's going to be kosher. Shara Melech raises the following issue. He says, what if, he raises the following suffix. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, suffix Erev Kosher, does that mean, when they say suffix Erev Kosher, so what does that mean? Does that mean that the you automatically have the tchum of the Eruv, meaning you have 2,000 amos from the Eruv, that the Eruv is definitely good, or does it mean you can choose whichever you want? You can, since it's a suffix, we get to be makel, so you can choose the tchum of the city, and assume the Erev is no good, or if you prefer, choose the Tchum of the Erev and assume that you actually were Kona Shvisa, but not that it's automatically the Erev. That's the suffix that the Shara Melech has. So Shara Melech says, well, if you're going to say that it's that you have choices, you can choose whichever one you want because it's a real suffix, well, then it doesn't make sense to say that if we're not going to take a stand strongly on one side that the Erev is kosher, and we're going to say, nah, you could choose whether the Erev is kosher or not kosher, that really won't work out so well based on something that we were discussing recently about Safik Drabbanan Lekula when it's a stira in both directions, when there's no reason to assume one way over the other, and it could go either direction, so Safik Drabbanan Kula typically doesn't apply in such a case. Tosfos Baba Kama says Sfek Sveka on the Daraisa wouldn't apply in such a case because there's no reason to assume the Kula in one direction more than the other. Whatever is a Kula in one direction is a Chumra in the other direction. So if I'm able to assume the Tchum Shabbos of the city in one direction, well then I'm beyond the Tchum of the Erev. And if I'm able to assume the Tchum of the Erev, well then I'm beyond the Tchum of the city. And there's no logic to assume one way or the other. So the Shara Melech says maybe. based on Tosfos Masechet Shabbos Daf Lamed Daled, that whenever we're mekel, it's only because of the chazaka of the kashrus of the Erev. The Erev had a cheskas kashrus. When I put it out there, it was not yet, when I put the truma Erev out there, it was not yet tame. When I put the food out there, there was no gal that was on. At the time that I put it out there, it had a cheskas kashrus. So maybe if it's all based on the cheskas kashrus, says the Shara Melech, you have to say that when we say safe kasher, we mean that the Erev is kasher, not that you get to choose to either have it be your home, have the tchum of the city, or have the tchum of the Erev. It means definitively that the Erev is kasher. Okay, says the Gemara, Niskalgil chutz l'tchum. Amar Rav Loshon Loshon Niskalgil chutz l'arba amos. That's only if it rolls past arba amos outside of the tchum, because otherwise, Aval l'tov dalet amos, Hanosin Ruvo, Yeshel dalet amos, because anyone who puts an Erev down, he gets the four amos around the Erev. Major Machlokas Rishonim, what this means by dalet amos. Rabbeinu Yohanason says that it means that you have up until 2004 amos outside of the city. If you put a 2003 amos outside of the city, it's kosher. But the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos and the Bartanura say no. The Mishnah means you have up until 2002 amos outside of the city. When we say nosen lo arba amos, it means hu be'emtza. He's in the middle of the dalet amos. So the eruv, if it's put more than when we measure the dalet amos around the eruv, we measure two amos in either direction. And there's a four amos circle around the eruv. So if you put it more than two amos outside of the city, then it's beyond where you're going to be allowed to go. That's how the Rambam understands. Nafal lav gal. So the Mishnah went on to say, what if it gets destroyed not just by going outside the tchum, but a nafal lav gal, a pile of rocks falls on it. So So the assumption is that if you want, you can take it. Meaning, but Rebbe holds that anything that's only in Issad Rabbanon is not, we were never gozer on during Ben HaShemashos. So if it's only an Issur Rabbanon, a pile of rocks fell on an Erev, according to Rebbe, we have to assume that there's got to be an Issur Darais over here, because if we're only in Issad Rabbanon, what would be the problem? You'd be able to, it's a problem Muktza, that the rocks are Muktza, that's no problem. You're allowed to violate the Issur Muktza Ben HaShemashos when the Erev takes effect. So, afilu temek Rebbe lo tzrich d'boi marav v'chatzina. Now, we're talking about a case where you need tools to access the Erev, and that in some way is going to involve a malacha daraisa. Utzricha. Now, I need all the different cases of the destroyed Erev. Ditan in the Skalgel, if it only would have told me the case of the Erev rolling past the Tchum, Mishum d'lesa gabe, I would say, yeah, that's no good because it's not here. Aval nafal of gal di segabe, emel havi Erev. But if a pile of rocks fell on it, okay, at least it's here. So maybe that should be a good Erev. Vitan enafal of gal, and if it only would have told me the case where the rocks fall on it, Mishum d'michsi, that's because maybe I would think that's no good because it's covered up. Aval neskalgel, zimnen dasi ziko, maisile, emel havi Erev. But when it rolls outside of the Tchum, a wind could come and bring it right back into the Tchum, and therefore maybe it should be a valid Erev. So tzricha, that's why I need both of the first two cases of an inaccessible Erev, both where it rolls outside of the Tchum and where a pile of rocks falls on it. What about the next one? O Nisraf Truma V'Nitmeis, or O Nisraf, or it was burnt, or Truma V'Nitmeis. Why do I need those next two examples? Again, these are just examples that make the Erev inaccessible to me. So Lamali, why do I need these examples? So Tana Nisraf, it tells me the case of Nisraf, Lo Diach L'Kochod Rabbi Yossi, to tell me how strong Rabbi Yossi is, that Rabbi Yossi is going to say that even though it's not even in the world, it's completely destroyed, it's gone forever, still Rabbi Yossi is going to say that it's not usher. Tana Truma V'Nitmeis Lo Diach L'Kochod Rameir, and it tells me the case of Truma that became Tameh, to tell me that Rameir would hold even though it's still here in the world, it's still physically perfectly fine, and Ben HaShemashos it had a Chazak, it had a Cheskas Tara, and I don't know when it became Tameh. It could have become Tameh later on. Still, Rav Meir is going to be Machmir. The Sav Rav Meir Sveika L'chumra. Wait a second. Does Rav Meir really hold that we're Machmir in a Safek Eruv? That we're going to be Machmir in a case of where we're Safek, where we're Mesupak, about whether this Eruv became invalidated before Ben HaShemashos or not? Vatna and the Tameh Sheyar Litbal, Safek Taval, Safek Lo Taval. Let's say you have a Tameh person that goes to the Mikvah. He's Yarad Litval, and he's not sure if he had a good tevila or if he didn't have a good tevila. He's not sure if he had maybe a chatzitza or something. Mishnah Melech just points out, why does the dafka, you want to pick a case of a suffik, why do we have to say Tamei she Yarad Litval? Why don't you just say Tamei that's in the stopik if he went to be tovel or not? He doesn't remember whether he went to the mikvah or not. So he says it could be that we dafka pick a case where he knows bevade that he went into a mikvah, that he just doesn't know if he was tovel kedin, if he was machnis his entire guf into the water, if he had a chatzitza, because maybe it's only in that case that we're going to be makel with the tumakala. But when the suffik is on whether he went to the mikveh at all, maybe in that case we'd go l'chumra even on a tumad rabbanan, even on a tumakala mid rabbanan. So maybe there are certain sveikos where even on a drabbanan we're going to be machmir. The quotes from Kiv Eger mikvaos that the halacha, we have a similar halacha. If you have a suffik erev kasher, but suffik whether you place the Erev in the first place, were machmir. That's what the Shulchan Aruch if you have a suffik when the Erev was kosher, so then we're going to be makel. But a suffik whether you put it there in the first place, so then we're going to be machmir. So anyway, so suffik tamei she'erev lipol, suffik tavel, suffik lo tavel, vafilu tavel, suffik tavel barabam saw, suffik lo tavel barabam saw. He knows for sure he was in the mikvah, there was no chatzitza, his whole body went in. He just doesn't know if it was 40 saw. V'chein shnei mikvahs, bachas yesh barabam saw, bachas yesh barabam saw, v'tavel bachas men v'nei. Where there are two mikvahs, one was kosher, one wasn't. He went into one of them, he doesn't know which one. Sveiko tame. So in that case, it's going to be tame. But medvar mamur betumah chamura, that's only tumah chamura daraisa, avul betumah kala. But what if the tumah that he had in the first place was only a tumah drabanan? Kigon, shachal ochlin tamein. He ate tame foods. Food does not, on a daraisa level, have the ability to be metame a person. Veshasam mashkin tamein. He drank tame drinks. Vabarosh of ruba b'mayim shu'uvin. He took a shower in Mayim Shu'uvin. Oshanafla Roshavel Rubo. I'm sorry, he went into a bath of Mayim Shu'uvin. Oshanafla Roshavel Rubo Shlosh Lug of Mayim Shu'uvin. Or he took a shower in three Lug of Mayim Shu'uvin. And so his Tameh, these are all the Tumas that we learned in the beginning of Masech Shabbos that are only Midrabanan, that are part of the Yurchas Davar. These are only Midrabanan. The Yarad Litbol, and then he goes to the Mikvah, Savik Tavel, Savik Lo Tavel, and he doesn't know whether it was a Kashur Tvila or not. Vafil Tavel, Savik Tavel, Barbara Messiah, Savik Lo Tavel, Barbara Messiah. He doesn't know if the Mikvah 40 saw the chain shame because back the bar bar saw back the bar bar saw the tavel bar men when you there base men tavel or he there were two mikvahs, one kosher, one not, he doesn't know which one he went into. In these cases of drabanan sveko tahar, Rabbi Yossi Mitame. Rabbi Meir holds Safek Tahar, and Rabbi Yossi is Mitame. But the bottom line is, does Rabbi Meir, how can we say that Rabbi Meir holds the word Machmir in the case of a Safek Eruv in the Mishnah Mikvos Tanakama, who is Rabbi Meir, holds that when a person who has a Tumah Derabanan has a Safek about his Tvila, you can assume Tahar, that we're Makel on the Din Derabanan. So says Mark, when we're dealing with an Erev Tchum, Rav Meir is Machmir on the Safek Eruv, not because he holds that you have to be Machmir even on a Din Derabanan, he holds that we're dealing with the Daraisa, that Tchum and a Daraisa. So frankly, Gemara, really? The Savra Rav Meir Tchum and Daraisa? Does Rav Meir really hold Tchum and a Daraisa? Vatnan, Imen Yochalav Leo, Bezuam Rabbi Destoy Bar Yane, Mishum Rav Meir, Shamati Shemekadrin Baharim. When we talk about measuring the Tchum, so there's going to be a lot of complicated factors in measuring tchum on uneven terrain. When you're dealing with hills and mountains, so how exactly do you measure the 2,000 amos? So Rav Meir holds that you could mekadrin baharim, you can view the mountain as if you drill a hole straight through the mountain, and the tchum goes, the measuring rope goes right through the hole in the mountain. You don't have to, and yet we know, v'yisal kadai tuch tchum d'oraisa, mi mekadrin, v'amar av nachman am rabar vua, ein mekadrin lo bar. When it comes to halachos of measuring, we only rely on this kula of mekadrin baharim when it comes to dinim darabanan, never when it comes to dinim daraisa. Where do we ever have to measure on a din daraisa? Egla rufa, you have to measure where you find a dead body and you don't know which city it's closer to. You have to measure which city it's closer to, or a miklat. So you have to also involves measuring on a daraisa level. So if you have a din daraisa that involves measuring, So then you're not allowed to rely on mekadrin baharim. Meaning, why do you measure by an ir miklat? The ir miklat is no particular distance it has to be, but not only does the city itself provide refuge, the tchum of the city provides refuge for the person. So there you're measuring the tchum, but you're measuring the tchum for a daraisa reason. So that's a din daraisa. So those things are that's where we're going to say in mekadrin baharim. So how can you tell me that a mayor holds that tchum is daraisa? And that's why. How can you tell me that Rameir holds that Tchum is Darais, and that's why he's Machmir and a Safek Eruvei Tchumin? No, we see Rameir relies on the Kula of Mekadrin Baharim. You only rely on the Kula of Mekadrin Baharim if you hold Tchum is Darabana, not if you hold Tchum is Darais. Says Gemara Lo Kasha Hadidei Hadarabe. Difference between Rameir himself holds Tchum Darais, and that's why he would not allow Mekadrin Baharim, and he holds Safek Eruvei, you have to be Machmir. But when he said Mekadrin Baharim, he was quoting the opinion of his Rebbeim. Dekonami. So you see that he holds that that Mekadrin Baharim, that we heard from Rameir, Shemekadrin Baharim, that was only quoting the opinion of his Rebbeim, that was not his own opinion. Rameir himself would hold definitely Tchumra Daraisa. So this discussion of Safik Daraisa L'chumra, there is one major machlokes about Safik Daraisa L'chumra, whether that itself is a Din Daraisa or a Din Darabanan. Right, that's the question. Is Savik Daraisa L'chumra? That's how the Machlokas Achronim. Why is Svek Sveka L'kula? If you hold Savik Daraisa L'chumra is a din Darabanan, so then Svek Sveka L'kula may just be a din in Savik Darabanan L'kula, because you have a Savik on Savik Daraisa L'chumra, but Savik Daraisa L'chumra itself is only a din Darabanan. But if you hold Savik Daraisa L'chumra is a din Daraisa, so then you have to say Svek Sveka works somehow me din Rov. Exactly what that means needs a lot more discussion, but it works somehow. Midin Rav. That's one issue by Safik Daraisa L'chumra. The other issue of Safik Daraisa L'chumra is Safik Daraisa L'chumra an absolute din, or is Safik Daraisa L'chumra something that we have to do to cover ourselves, that we might as well do it so that we can make sure that everything is okay? Nafkamina would be, what if even after your Machmir you're still not sure? Let's say that's the discussion they have with the Tcheles that we have nowadays. So some argue Safik Mitzvah Daraisa, so of course you got to go L'chumra and wear it. But others say no. Savik Daraisa L'chumra, you're going to wear it, and then you're still going to be Mesupak whether you got the mitzvah or not. If you're Mesupak whether it's real or not, if you know that it's real, you're confident that it's not a Safik, so then it's not an issue. But if you think that it's a Safik, so what are you doing then? That's Rav Shlomo Miller's Tainu. What are you going to be doing? You're going to accomplish nothing. You're still going to be Mesupak afterwards. Okay, so we'll stop there. But we'll pick up in the Stir and Rameir tomorrow.